You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. If you like tennis betting, William Hill offers the best in-play action you'll find. You can bet on the outrights, sets, games and point by point. To guide you, there are stats, a court map, live action on William Hill TV and dedicated experts looking for the best bets on the ATP and WTA tournaments on in-play radio. Plus, there'll be extended radio coverage of the Grand Slams. To get involved, tweet the studio at Will Hill In Play or email inplayradio@williamhill.co.uk.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Tennis Podcast. Alex Dunn here, joined on the line by Nick Lester to look ahead to the finals in the US Open. We've got the women's final coming up on Saturday evening and the men's on Sunday. Roberto Vinci against Flavia Panetta and Novak Djokovic against Roger Federer, the two games that we're going to go at here. Bit of a shock in the women's yesterday with Serena Williams losing to Roberto Vinci. I don't think anyone really saw that coming. The men's has been a little bit more straightforward, at least once Andy Murray went out. Things have gone pretty much according to plan, or as you would expect anyway. Good morning, Nick. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Very well.
What a strange evening yesterday was, because I think there could not have been a person on the planet that could have confidently said that Serena was going to bow out to Roberto Vinci, particularly when she was a setup.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. It was a very, very tight and nervous performance, wasn't it? She came into press afterwards and basically played a very, very straight bat and was not entertaining any thoughts of her being nervous or expectations or anything like that. But it was extremely obvious, I think, to everyone that this was a cumulative effect. I remember last year, actually, that Bryan Brothers and talking about a very similar thing. They came in here having won three of the four. They had the Grand Slam at their mercy. And they said when they lost in the semifinals that actually, in a strange kind of way, it was a relief, because that's all everyone had talked about for the last month coming in. It was all about the Grand Slam. It was all about, and that pressure built and built. Now, obviously, the Bryan Brothers are in a different situation than Serena Williams. I'm not necessarily comparing the two. But one thing I would say is that, obviously, they were going for the same thing, and that was a calendar Grand Slam. Mm. Her movement was very poor, I thought, yesterday, Serena. She just, and then when you're tight and nervous, that's what goes primarily. Your feet don't move because you're just so stuck. You just feel like you're almost in glue. And Vinci played, very, very nicely. She used the slice a lot. She came in well. I mean, you have to say, for a woman who hasn't played at that level in those big events too often over the years, to close it out in that last game to love was massive. I mean, that takes some serious guts. And I thought, for her to do that was outstanding. And, Serena, she was, her press conference was rather sad to see, I must say. She was not particularly willing to talk. Understandably, absolutely devastated.
As for Flavia Panetta, she's had a... Well, compared to Roberto Vinci, if you look at Vinci's games and who she's beaten, Vanya King, Denisa Relatova, Marina Duke Marino, then she got the bye against Bouchard, and then Mladenovic, and then Serena Williams. There's quite a jump there in the calibre of players that she's been coming up against. Whereas Panetta has sort of gradually been cranking it up in recent rounds. Kvitova and Halep, two very big, I was going to say scalps, but she's been there and done that, Panetta, and she's got form here in the past. Everything seems sort of set up for her to go on and beat Vinci here. Head-to-head-wise, Panetta has a slight edge. We price it up like this, Nick. Vinci's 2-1, Panetta is 4-9. A little bit short, maybe, Panetta, but are you in agreement that she's a worthy favourite here?
I think she's a favourite. If she's a 4-9 favourite, I'm not convinced, okay. I must be honest. I think that's probably a little bit... I'm not sure I'd be putting my money down at 4-9, given the way Vinci played yesterday. I mean, there's a couple of things you've got to ask yourself here. Is one, Roberto Vinci, having had the best win of her life on the biggest stage of her life, doesn't have a whole lot of time to digest the situation. 24 hours later, she's coming back out here to play again. Mm. And I think that is going to be a very, very big question mark as to whether she can get her head around so quickly what has happened to her in the last 24 hours. I mean, her post-match interview was brilliant yesterday. She was saying she never thought she had an inkling that she was going to win yesterday. So I guess the counter argument to that is that she is 32 now, 32, 33, and that she's not 21. You know, she's got experience under her belt. Again, not at this level, but it's not, even though there'll be a surprise for her, she does have age on her side and experience on her side. I mean, the head-to-head is 5-4. Again, it's tough to read a whole lot into the head-to-head purely because most of their meetings have come in the fairly distant past. I mean, the last meeting was in the US Open in 2013, and Panetta won, losing only 5 games. That was in the quarterfinals. Probably that is the most relevant meeting. Both, you know, have not had a great 2 years really since then. Panetta won in Indian Wells, I think 2014. But aside from that, neither of them at the majors have really shown up. I mean, the women's finals have a history of actually being quite short here at the US Open. There's only a couple of exceptions to that. That was when Serena played Azarenka, I think, a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I think I was reading 17 of the 19 US Open finals have actually been straight sets. So in theory, if you're looking at set betting here, I would suggest that probably it may well be a couple of close sets. I would lean towards Panetta, I must say. I can't really back her at that price, so I think if I'm backing from a betting point of view, I'm probably looking at backing Panetta in two, maybe to win in two here. I think she just has, you know, there is a lot of people talk about Vinci's game being unorthodox, you know, the way she uses the slice, the way she changes the pace. The one bonus for Panetta here is that she and Vinci are very close. They played Fed Cup together for many years. They've been on teams together. Panetta will be very used to the way Vinci plays the game. She's not really going to be surprised out here, I don't think. Flavia was outstanding yesterday against Simona Halep. I've never seen Flavia play as well as that. I think, you know, she should be able to cope with the occasion perhaps a little better. I think she has the benefit of not having had the, as I say, having had to go through a world number one. That's why I think I'm going with Panetta here. And I think if I'm betting, I'd probably be going with Panetta in two sets to love.
Okay. Panetta to win two sets love is 6-5. Interestingly, in the recent clashes between these two, I say recent, they actually haven't played since 2013. But even though, you know, it's been a bit Vinci wins one, Panetta wins one, Panetta does have the edge. But whoever's won has tended to do it in straight sets anyway. So
yeah,
you mentioned
exactly.
Panetta two sets love there, 6-5. Similarly, if you think that it will go to two sets, whatever happens, you come back just two sets in the match. That gets Vinci on your side as well, if you like. That is 1-2, so obviously much shorter. But a similar price, I'm backing Panetta to win outright. So depending on which one you prefer there. Plenty of markets on the website as well. You can back Flavia Panetta -3.5 games in the handicap betting. That's 8-11. Or Vinci +3.5 at even money. And of course, you've got all your set betting there, all the correct scores and everything like that. But we're going to side with Panetta here then, Nick.
Yeah, I think so. I think the way Flavia played yesterday against Halep was phenomenal. And I think she'll be used to Vinci's style of play. She knows they both know each other so well. I just think Panetta is able to move a bit better. Really like the way she played yesterday. I mean, she won 14 or 15 straight points against Halep. That's not easy to do. Halep doesn't give you a whole lot. Despite the fact she was poor, I think Panetta's looking very, very sharp. The courts are pretty quick as well, so that'll favour her. She likes the ball to come onto her. And I just think, you know, with Roberta having had to cope with beating, having such a tumultuous day yesterday, to come back 24 hours and do it all over again, I think could be a little tough.
Mm. She's almost played a final already, hasn't she?
Feels like it, doesn't it? Mm. A little bit. Feels like it already. Yep.
Okay, right. So, Panetta in the women's, and now the men's coming up on Sunday evening. And what a final we've got as well. Novak Djokovic against Roger Federer. Djokovic is 8-11. Federer in the betting at 11-10. Federer, who is yet to drop a set during this hard court season, which is just phenomenal. Since Wimbledon, he has not dropped a set. But, of course, in the Wimbledon final, he lost to Novak Djokovic. Djokovic, who has been pretty impressive so far, dropped a set in the last 16 and the quarters, but couldn't have been more impressive against Marin Cilic. 6-love, 6-1, 6-2 yesterday against a man who normally holds his serve with, you know, fairly monotonous regularity. What a performance yesterday from Djokovic.
Yeah, I think the big thing is for me was that he was able to read Cilic's serve. Mm. You know, that if you're able to do that, if, you know, Djokovic is, as we know, probably the best returner in the game, and his head to head with Cilic is obviously very good. He's never lost to him. So, and if you watch the match yesterday, you know, it's really fascinating to see the battle that goes on, because Cilic is obviously does have the serve and the forehand are the two weapons he likes to use, but he's just not getting any free points off his serve. And especially if when Djokovic is able to break him early, like he was yesterday, because that just knocks Cilic's confidence so quickly. You know, Cilic is used to playing quick points. He's used to creating pressure by building pressure, by serving well, holding quickly. And yet there's Djokovic, who's every time Cilic is serving, Djokovic is reading it, putting it back with interest, and suddenly they're in a baseline rally. And Djokovic obviously coming out on top, you know, 75-80% of the time in that regard. So it was a fairly healthy battering, you must say, but not massively surprising, I don't think, really. I thought Cilic might make a bit more of a fist of it. And there also was the factor as well that Cilic has an ankle problem that he was carrying yesterday. So I think you have to put a slight asterisk by that. He was able to cope with it through the tournament, but he's been carrying an ankle injury. So, yeah, Djokovic played great yesterday. But I think, you know, it's such a tough one to call this, but I think overall, when you're looking at the two players in this final, I don't think there's any doubt who's playing the better tennis right now going into the final, and that's Federer. He's looking so sharp, so clean, so aggressive, and he certainly ticks a lot of boxes. But we did have a very similar conversation going into the Wimbledon final with Federer, and we all know what happened there.
Yeah. I don't think anything can be taken away from Federer as well. Also won in straights yesterday against a definitely more solid opponent in Stan Wawrinka. Maybe didn't have the, you know, 6-love, 6-1, 6-2, but 6-4, 6-3, 6-1 against a player of his calibre, you can't discount that. And as you said, he's arriving, you don't want to say in the form of his life, because he's been in some pretty good form in his life, but it's so hard at the minute to make a case for anyone against him. I know Djokovic is a different kettle of fish, but often, you know, when Federer comes up against Wawrinka, you'll say, well, I fancy Stan to at least, you know, nick a set here, or maybe even push him really close and go to five. But he's just sweeping all before him at the minute, isn't he, Roger Federer?
Yeah, and I tell you what, Alex, he is in the form of his life. There's no doubt about that. He's playing the best tennis he's ever played, without a shadow of a doubt. You know, the game, his game has moved on from 3 or 4 or 5 years ago, and everyone's game's moved on. And there is, for me, there's, and I think for most people who certainly have watched the game closely over the years, he's peaking. Without a doubt, he's peaking. He's, you know, everything about him, from not just his offensive tennis, it's his defensive tennis as well that's so impressive. You know, when he finds himself in trouble in a rally, he's able to move so gracefully from the back of the court. He's able to get himself back into points with the slice backhand when he's under real trouble, and transition so quickly to become an aggressive player. It's everything, the serve, the volley, his movement, the net's outstanding. I've never seen him move quite so well at the net. Just the way he's covering the angles, not allowing guys any time. We've seen this new saber, as it's being called, this sneak attack. Federer taking the second serve very, very early, almost on the, you know, on the rise, coming in, chip charging. There's just so much to admire about his tennis. You know, I feel like I could wax lyrical about him forever, and it's no disrespect to Djokovic, but the way Federer has played this summer has been quite a staggering. It really has, and it's he's 34, but the way he's playing right now, he could well go on for another 3 or 4 years.
A rarity for Djokovic, he's actually behind on the head-to-heads against Roger Federer, and when they've met in recent years as well, particularly on hard courts, Federer is more than capable of giving him a game. Beat him last time they met in Cincinnati. As I said, it's priced up 8-11 Djokovic, 11-10 Federer. Which way are you going to go with this, Nick?
Well, I think it's tough, I have to say. I think I'm a little bit wary, purely just by having been sucked in a little bit at Wimbledon. I think everyone at Wimbledon was so adamant that Federer was in this same situation here, playing well, you know, he was going to take time away from Djokovic. And the big factor in the Wimbledon final was really the fact that Djokovic was able to read his serve so well. Federer, in fact, said yesterday in the Wimbledon final on the post-match press conference that he felt that he played okay, but he didn't play perhaps as well as he has been in the last couple of weeks. So you're relying on Federer repeating what he has done in the last couple of weeks, you know, to be able to beat Djokovic. I mean, you know, I've scoured the head-to-heads very closely, and as you say, it's 21-20, specifically on a hard court. It's tough to get a feel on a hard court because they flip-flop both ways. So Federer beat him in Cincinnati. Djokovic beat him in Indian Wells earlier in the year, which granted his slower conditions. Mm-hmm. Federer beat him in Dubai in February in quicker conditions. So I would say the conditions here definitely suit Federer. This is a fast surface with lively tennis balls. The balls are lighter in New York, and that will certainly favour Federer in this one. again, going back a little further, again, you've got to try and look at matchups here. Shanghai last year in October, they played on, I would say, probably the most similar surface, Shanghai to New York. Federer won in straight sets. A lot here is going to depend on how well Federer serves, obviously. Again, in the final in Cincinnati, he won 85% of points on his first serve and 75% on his second. If he does that, without a shadow of a doubt, Federer will win this match. But he has to defend the second serve well. He will break Djokovic. I mean, Federer's numbers this week on return are excellent. He's been returning really well. I expect to try and get in the face of Djokovic. But Novak is, as we know, the toughest nut in this sport to crack. You know, I talked to Dave a lot this week about how he's not accepting Djokovic of the fact that he hasn't won this title in 4 years. 2011 was the last time he won it. And, you know, he's come into this event looking for a fresh approach. And he's made a lot of changes to his setup here in New York this year because of that. I think from a betting point of view, I've got to say it's tough for me to nail my master on either player. I think it's probably a set betting thing, and I'd really be looking at this one going long. I can really see this one being five sets and being a real classic. At a push, I'd probably still have to go with Djokovic, I must say. But it really does feel as though Federer, with the odds being as they are, is good value at odds against. The way he's playing right now, if you believe he can do it one more time against Djokovic, odds against seems to be a good price. So to nail, if you want my absolutely nail my colours, I'd probably go Djokovic, maybe just in five.
Okay. Djokovic 8-11. For the match to go five sets is 5-2, which is a big enough price anyway. But if you do want to back Djokovic in five, so that's Djokovic 3-2, that is 5-1. So you're getting a good price, whatever happens there. And with them being so tight as well, Nick, it could be one of those things that maybe you back Federer at 11-10, hope he breaks early, then you can back Djokovic odds against as well, and you've got a profit whatever happens, haven't you?
Yeah, exactly. Listen, I mean, I think to summarise this, if Federer plays in the manner he has been doing in the entire summer, for me, he will have enough to get in the face of Djokovic and disrupt his rhythm. We have never seen Federer play this well, simple as that, as we have done the last 3 weeks. If you think he can do it against Djokovic, and he has done in the past, not necessarily on a hard court over five sets, but it well could be the crowning moment of his career. You know what I mean? That, because you've got to remember, he hasn't won a major since 2012, Federer. And so many people have written him off. 3 years down the line, could this perhaps be the icing on the cake for him to say, yeah, I can win one more? It could well be. And, you know, if you think he can continue that form, which he's shown this year, because he has been the best player consistently this summer, then I think you've got a shot. But you've also got to balance it out. And this is the thing. You know, Djokovic's record on a hard court specifically is unrivaled in the last 2 years. No one's really even come close to the consistency that he's shown. So it's a tough market to call. But I think Federer is good value being odds against. But I think over the distance, if it goes long, I'd be with Djokovic.
Whatever happens, promises to be an absolute cracker in New York on Sunday evening. Enjoy it, Nick. Enjoy the women's final on Saturday evening as well. We'll catch up with you soon. But best of luck with everything that you've tipped up here, everything that you've mentioned. And above all, enjoy the action.
Thanks, Alex.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.